boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John a Lobster. Breaking Bad fixed cable television and broke cable television at the same time. Hear me out. This is going to be another long intro. The AMC series, which aired from 2008 to 2013, opened to low ratings and a collective shrug. The dad from Malcolm in the Middle sells drugs? Huh? Okay. But quickly picked up steam thanks to favorable reviews and word of mouth online. The series finished its run as one of the highest rated cable shows on TV. Crucially, before the fourth season aired, the first three appeared on Netflix's online streaming platform, allowing viewers to get caught up quickly and join the conversations happening around the water cooler at work and online in fan theory threads on Reddit. By the time the show wrapped after five seasons, it had won 16 Emmys and received 58 nominations, won two Peabody Awards, and set the Guinness World Record for the most critically acclaimed series of all time. Along with other highly acclaimed prestige cable series, Breaking Bad ushered in the era of peak TV. But the television gods giveth, and the television gods taketh away. The headline behind Breaking Bad's success isn't a victory for cable television. AMC continues the saga with the prequel series Better Call Saul, which continues to garner rave reviews. But like Walter White's signature product, the addictive nature of television itself is the real story. Fast forward 7 years since Breaking Bad went off the air, and every streaming platform is jonesing for that next binge-worthy hit and fighting a turf war with content for your hard-earned cash. So, it's fitting, then, that the epilogue to the Heisenberg saga, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, written and directed by series creator Vince Gilligan and filmed in secret in New Mexico and Arizona, was released directly on Netflix. Spoiler warnings for Breaking Bad, yo. Let's cook.
Yeah, bitch. I think you missed one thing, though. They almost killed Jesse off in the first freaking season.
That's true. That is very true. And what a shame it would have been.
To be honest, as someone who used to, I don't know, be a druggie and know people that did meth and all this shit.
Sure.
He portrayed the best drug addict, honestly. Like, and when he was going through withdrawals and all this shit, I don't know if he was a method actor or what he did, but he would give me the chills sometimes at seeing him be, he's
so good at it that he can't play anything else.
He can't play anything else. Yeah, exactly.
It is really interesting that the roles he's had since Breaking Bad, I think he played on a Hulu series called The Path that was about a cult.
And Need for Speed!
He did a couple action movies that didn't pan out so well, and he's joining Westworld, speaking of prestige cable TV series. And I think that's going to be his kind of, he's going to find his niche, I think, again. But we're here to talk about El Camino, which was a direct-to-Netflix movie, and the kind of long-awaited follow-up, conclusion, what happened after the credits to Breaking Bad, which, I mean, let's go back to the original series. Were you fans of it? Were you caught up in Heisenberg mania? Did you come to it, like me, through streaming after the series aired?
What did you guys think? The show for season five.
Yeah. We stretched it, though. I mean, I caught up probably about season three or four, like you're saying, four or five, somewhere when they had it on streaming like that. But it wasn't part of the early seasons.
Okay.
And I watched it because of Beef, so...
Okay. What about you? Did you watch it at the end?
I came to it late. I knew it was around. I kind of felt like by the time it was wrapping up its run, I think was really when I, watched it on Netflix. And I think I watched the first four seasons on Netflix and then waited for season five to hit. I've kind of been doing the same thing with Better Call Saul and just like waiting for them to be on Netflix
so I can binge watch them.
It is, yeah. But it's not a bad show.
It's so good.
It's very good. Yeah, yeah. It's very good.
I think it's better. It's a, a, it's written better, but it's not as addictive.
Correct.
For some reason.
It has less of a water cooler buzz. Not everybody's watching
there's,
it.
There's fewer big moments. There's fewer big scenes.
See, I was...
But this character...
It's character work, yeah. It's a lot of character work.
I was wondering what... I almost wanted to get someone, whoever, and like make them watch it with me and then bring them on the cast. Like, had someone that was... had never seen Breaking Bad, but that would almost be torture because you have to see it.
So famously, if you talk to my wife, she's still mad at me because we had just started dating.
Oh God.
And we were going through like different shows, and I like Breaking Bad was one that she was interested in, but I ended up starting it and watching it without her.
Ooh.
And again, this was really early days in our relationship, but she still has not forgiven me for watching Breaking Bad on my own. I don't know if she would actually like it, but I'm curious now to have her watch it. I don't think she'd ever agree to be on the podcast, but at least to get her impression of it.
Right, exactly.
Which brings me to why not just rewatch it. I'm in the midst of season four, and it's awesome.
Yeah. No, I this watching El Camino and its many flashbacks, which we could kind of talk about, because this is not only giving you the continuation or conclusion of Jesse's story, whichever way you want to look at it, it's giving you the greatest hits, right?
It's also like
Go ahead.
And it's also weaving in that narrative of the time we didn't see him, the time he was captive, and we didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he had Stockholm syndrome. He had been beaten to within an inch of his life multiple times, and it showed.
Yeah, kept in a cage.
Yeah.
There's a scene from the trailer that's not in the movie of Skinny Pete in the interrogation room.
I'm sad that's not here.
Yeah, saying like, you know, even if I knew where he was, I wouldn't tell you because they kept him in a fucking cage like an animal, and dude deserves to be free. So
the everybody works well as their old characters.
Yeah.
Except Skinny Pete got skinnier and Jesse Plemings got big.
Dude, you swelled.
Right. Like that threw me off at times because I'm like, oh, that's right. It's creepy dead eyes.
Yeah. And you go back and you're like, he was fresh off Friday Night Lights, man. And he was trim and fit. And Fargo and Black Mirror and the stuff he's done kind of in the middle. He's a doughboy now.
I guess wooing Kirsten Dunst. She's either a good cook or he took her to a lot of good restaurants.
Yeah.
But he was
that was like the hardest thing for me. Like, it's a little bit like when you watch Better Call Saul and obviously, you know,
Mike Aaron and Trout.
Yeah, they're like 10 years older when they're really supposed to be 10 years younger, and you just kind of have to like let that go.
But this
one, it's supposed to be like about the time that the series ended. And, you know, to be fair, Aaron Paul, you know, looks older, but at the same time, he's, you know, you buy it because he's been through shit. Like, that should have aged him 10 years, what he went through.
The silhouette of this man is not even nearly the same. And I'm not, like, fat shaming or anything because everybody goes through ups and downs in their lives. You didn't see him in any of the, like, promotional material, and then you hear his voice. And he talks to him a little bit, and then they pull the shade off, and he asks him for a cigarette, so you can barely see his face through bars. And you
thought at first they were going to Wilson him from, like, Home Improvement.
The whole
time? Where they don't actually show him. And I was like, that's clever, because, you know, for the same reason we're talking about. And, no disrespect to Jesse Plemons, I think his scenes in this are great, and almost... I buy this version of Todd a little bit more than the kind of OG Todd. Do you know what I mean? Did you guys watch the short Snow Globe?
Where he made the snow globe of him and Lydia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I buy this version of Todd much more so than the Todd in the series. You get way more like serial killer vibes from him, and way more like he just wants to be with a group and fit in.
But you can draw a straight line from skinny Todd to this Todd, and it's just the buffet.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, it's just the amount of time. It's just the amount of time that's supposed to elapse.
That's the only thing that throws it off, because it's before he gets shot and killed.
Yeah.
So, So good. I don't know. Okay, so we talked before the cast, and there was a solid groan from Wing.
Okay. I love how the series ended. I love... This is one of the best ending to a TV show ever.
I will agree with you. It's probably my favorite ending to a TV show.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Why go back to the well?
Exactly. Because I'm watching it, and I'm like... This looks, it looks and sounds like an extended episode.
It's not a good movie. It's not a movie by any means.
It's not a movie by any means. It's a two-part episode.
Yeah.
Finally, which brings us from Jesse in a car going away
to Jesse in a car
going away.
There's a lot of symmetry there because they even cut back to it.
It's like, you know, the first...
Was it necessary? No. Was it fun to revisit the series 7 years after?
Heck yeah.
Yes. But now people that binge the series that are going to watch that right after the final, I think that kind of ruins
it. They should have to wait 7 years to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, now did you like it again or like it more rewatching it for the cast than you did 4 months ago or whenever it came out?
Because I didn't watch it 4 months ago. I waited. Okay, I'm not
same ear.
Okay, yeah, well,
I honestly waited till I had a reason to watch it because I wanted to get in the headspace of I'm going to see it and then talk about it with someone.
I honestly liked it better. I just finished it again right before we started recording. Yeah. But knowing where it was going and being able to not let it all shock me, but like look at the nuances.
Right.
And get me wrong. It's cute to see them and to see what's happening and to have all of that. But overall, this is the plan. This is a silent plan. It looks like scene they wrote and didn't shoot and miss, so they put them together.
And I also think that there's like I watched a lot of the Easter egg videos that kind of like point out what it's referencing and kind of like when some of the flashbacks take place and stuff like that. And I found that helpful. Like I didn't go back and rewatch all of Breaking Bad and then watch this right away. So to have a little bit more connection with, okay, this is what it's referencing, this is that. And then obviously Better Call Saul is back, so I've been catching up with that. So, you know, I feel like I'm more in the Heisenberg verse.
See, and I did that
at the moment. You know what I mean?
I went back and I had watched everything from the episode Fly forward. I skipped that one and went forward right before this came out the first time, and so it was all fresh. I was in the mind space. Yeah.
Why would you skip that one? That's the best episode of the show.
Stop.
You don't like the Fly episode.
There were a few times I fell asleep to it the first few times I tried watching it, so I watched it once. And then...
That's Rian Johnson's.
Yes, it is.
Rian Johnson's episode.
Yeah, I did not like that one.
Okay, so I just want to like touch on one thing, and then I want to go back to your thoughts. So one of the things that stands out to me the most about Breaking Bad... And to by extent, I think Better Call Saul does this as well, is the visual style and the mode of visual storytelling. And obviously Vince Gilligan's writing is, you know, amazing, right? But this was also directed by Vince Gilligan. Did you feel that helped or hurt where I think some of Breaking Bad standout episodes were Rian Johnson, Michelle MacLaren, like other people coming in and working with his material?
No, it felt like a Vince Gilligan episode, which were usually the first episode or the last ones. So it felt like it. That's the thing. I'm in season 4 and I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, this didn't evolve at all. It's the same kind of shot. It's the same kind of vibe.
Beef, how did you feel about like the way this the way this movie episode fits in with like the visual style of the show?
It is really only like 4 minutes short of 3 episodes, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean it kind of felt the same, but again, I just smashed all those episodes beforehand. I mean, you see his style throughout it. It wasn't maybe as shocking as some of the other people, but it was still there.
I guess for me, like Breaking Bad, I think of the ingenuity of the shots and the way the show frames shots and presents to you like obviously mundane things. Like I think of him like mixing the eggs and you're staring up through the bowl. I don't even remember what that was, but there's a lot of that in this universe, and it sits with this very gritty, realistic depiction of crime and this world of Albuquerque, but at the same time, it's this almost hyper-stylized presentation. And I felt that this movie did that also very well. There are a lot of scenes that are really well shot and framed.
What about like some of those cuts, like when he looks through the eyeglass at night and then it cuts back to the day? Or my favorite one was when he's taking the shower.
Oh, okay. I was going to say like the when he's tearing the apartment apart and you see it from above.
That is, yeah, that one's great.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there are a lot of great cuts in this. I think it's really well edited. I mean, they got the band back together for this, right? Like, so it's all the people that worked on the series doing this again. And like, I can't stress this enough. Like, they didn't tell anyone they were doing this. Like, well, they shot...
They did, but then they told us that it was for some kind of vodka.
Yeah. So,
do you remember that? That would fit exactly in the dates.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, I just remember, you know, Aaron Paul was like opening a shop in Albuquerque or something. Like he opened a store, I think, and he was talking about that. And so, yeah, I'm down there. You know, I'm opening a store. And, you know, our friends are doing Better Call Saul and everybody's down there. And then they're like, oh, here's the trailer for El Camino that's going to be out soon. And you're like, wait, what?
They should have marketed that thing. They would have had a bigger splash. Really came out like, boom, what?
Yeah, and what's really interesting, so I have kind of the numbers for this. Obviously, it got a very limited theatrical release, only made about 40 grand in theaters.
40 grand?
Yeah, but if you look at the viewership numbers, there's something like Netflix said within the first week or so, about 8.2 million people watched the movie, or at least the first they started the movie. Maybe they didn't finish it within that time frame, but excuse me, if you calculate that out, for that box office frame, it would have topped the box office that weekend. So, like, obviously, you put it on Netflix and get it in front of as many eyes as possible. But with the marketing investment, could it have, you know, done Downton Abbey movie numbers?
I think so. Honestly, I think that's a missed opportunity they had there. We would have all seen it in theater.
Yeah, I think I probably would have. Yeah.
Yeah, we would have bitched that it's a 2-3 episode in a row, but...
Yeah, well, so that's kind of the thing. Like, as I was watching it, I was kind of like, okay, I see why they didn't give it a theatrical release. Because it's not a cinematic movie. It's a very tight movie, and there are some scenes that I think could play well on the big screen, but at the same time, like... Breaking Bad is TV medium. That's the medium of Breaking Bad. So it just feels right on the small screen.
Yeah, you're right.
Beef?
I don't know. I liked going back to the well after 7 years. Yeah. I liked seeing all these people again and seeing... Because Jesse was always, you know, everyone loved Walt. And Walt was, you know, the good anti-hero or whatever it was. But it was cool to see Jesse have a full circle and you wanted to know what happened to him after that captivity, and I don't know. It was just great to, like, he had the new dude was Candy or whatever. That dude was a dick. Yeah. I mean, they added some fun characters. I really thought those guys were cops for a second, but going back and watching it again, some of the shit that they say and they do, it's, I don't know. This show has always been so well written, and yes, it had the perfect ending ever. Like, in my mind, the best ending of any TV show, but it didn't, like, free three episodes aren't shit, I'll take it.
And this, to me, doesn't take anything away from how Breaking Bad, they don't retcon anything.
Walt doesn't jump up, like, wearing a bulletproof vest or something, you know? Yeah.
But they
you
don't.
Know some exec, you know some executive suggested it somewhere.
But what if? Yeah, what if? But you know, at the same time, I think this like plays within the rules. It doesn't take anything away from Breaking Bad, and actually, in my mind, it extends the argument that Breaking Bad is a modern day Western. Because what does this movie end with?
Riding off into the sunset.
He's riding sunset.
Riding off into the sunset. But a goddamn gunslinging standoff shootout.
Yeah, I mean, there's a duel ends, in the movie.
It ends
oh my
with
God.
A pistol duel. Like, that's the climax. Well,
it's the
action
duel
climax
and then
the
shootout.
Film. Yeah, but like, I mean, obviously Vince Gilligan is a fan of Westerns, and if you've seen his, you know, the episode of Community that he does, you know, obviously it's right there. But the speaking of Jonathan Banks, Mike Ehrmantraut on Community,
love him.
But at the same time, like this, it, like it's playing all of the tropes in this movie, and I kind of love that. Like it, this feels more like a Western than anything they've done so far, but it feels very comfortable because it's finally like, okay, yeah, we can own this, right?
I think being stitched together with the flashbacks and then you kind of getting what he's going for, it's basically just three episodes that are a fetch quest, right?
Right.
He's trying to get himself free. And it's kind of, it works better having them like flashbacks and that shit stitched together, because otherwise it would kind of get boring.
But isn't all of Breaking Bad a fetch quest?
Absolutely. They go to get methylamine or... Yeah.
Right. All of Breaking Bad is about the next thing that they need to get.
Cook or...
To get the money or the product or the equipment or
the
ingredients or... Right. Yeah. And Better Call Saul, a lot of times, is the same thing. It's about the next con, the next thing that's going to get, you know... And so the story always propels forward. And I think that the way this is structured, and he has an end goal, which he needs to get to Robert Forster to get him to Alaska. Like,
I like
and
that,
that does-
Robert Forster fucks him for $1,800.
Yeah.
And like calls the cops, gets him out of there, but doesn't tell the cops what's going on.
Deal's
and
a deal.
He's like, yep, a deal's a deal. And that's like, all right, cool.
Robert Forster is amazing. This is his final role.
Yeah, I was watching it that day when I got the news.
Yeah, and he died the day it was released.
Yeah,
and
true.
It's, we talked about that on the podcast a while back, and it's tragic. But I mean, what a scene to go out on, if I'm, you know, being honest. Like,
where he gets to help Jesse ride off into the sunset.
Right. Well, not even that. It's the scene in the vacuum shop where they're having that back and forth. And no, because if you called the cops, they'd call you back.
Wow,
like, you
look
don't
at that response time.
Yeah, yeah.
I like when he grabs his bag and he's like, "Can I have that bag?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, what are you doing?" And he says, "Gathering
your
things."
Yeah,
and
collecting your belongings
oh,
for you.
Shit.
Yeah,
you're gonna take a 200. You're gonna take a quarter of $1 million and say no because they're $1,800 short.
Yep. Oh,
he doesn't need it.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. But still, it's like, oh, man.
You know, sometimes $500,000 to say fuck you is one thing. For the rest, there's MasterCard.
Yeah.
You know, and the van that was there was a red one. It looked like a kidney bean, like the one right out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great. I have a line that I'm going to use, and I want to save it. But
okay.
I thought that was great. And I mean, obviously, you get Kristen Ritter as Jane. You get Jonathan Banks again as Mike Ehrmantraut.
Only for a second, though, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, but of course,
but he's in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
So if you want
right,
more,
you get him
Mike.
Every week. But at the same time, you get this scene where you do get Walter White back for one final scene.
Oh,
what did you guys make of that?
His look off into the distance and say, yeah, you know, for you, it's at least good. You didn't have to wait till your whole life to do something miraculous or whatever. And it's like, you have two beautiful kids and a wife, and your miraculous thing was cooking your first batch of meth.
Yeah,
I mean, he is a chemist, but it shows you, like, because this is right after their first batch.
Mm-hmm.
So
This is right after the 4 days out, stranded in the desert
correct.
Episode.
That's the one I meant.
This is them like back to civilization. Yep.
Yeah.
The Crystal Ship.
Man.
But again, I think this movie, it gives you your, you know, your cake and you get to eat it too. Like, you don't, they don't resurrect Walter White, but you do get to see him one more time.
And he hops up and dusts himself off and you hear the Velcro, ooh, the Velcro straps from oh my God.
Or he pulls off a rubber mask and it's fat Jesse Plemons and you're like, oh shit.
You take a you take a little bit of his meth and he heals and he's just here we go, perfect.
Yeah. He becomes like meth man and he kills all of them again.
Does the zombies happen?
Yeah, well, allegedly, Walking Dead and Breaking Bad, same thing.
What?
Yeah, it's the blue meth makes the zombies.
The blue meth makes the zombies.
Oh, okay.
Unconfirmed, but whatever.
Okay.
But again, I think that this movie, you know, it satisfies emotionally. It satisfies, I think, in, you know, being an extended episode of Breaking Bad. Maybe not a movie in its own right, but at least a worthy episode. And it satisfies in, you know, not wrecking what went before. Like, they don't go retcon really anything.
You get to see the Skinny and Badger relationship more evolved and still...
Like, that is a great scene.
They're sitting there just gaming and drinking Slurpees or whatever.
Yeah. I love all the Star Trek stuff there, too.
I didn't notice that till your Easter egg thing.
Yeah, I had forgotten about the Kirk kills himself in the transporter like 174 yes. times, but... Oh. All right.
Well.
Yeah.
Winner takes all. Like in the Wild West? You ready? For El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, are you going legendary?
And that's Church, yo.
Legend of its time.
Better call Aaron Paul.
Cult legend.
Magnets! Yeah, that was a good one.
I liked seeing him, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Awesome.
You're the guy. Look, I am 96% sure that you are the guy.
Entertaining.
Look, bro, I'm not, like, impugning on your precious welding skills.
Mabel.
You're apexing too early.
I can't. It's the only time I know when to apex. Forgettable.
You couldn't drive a two-button elevator.
Abysmal.
You couldn't drive Miss Daisy, whatever that means.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Need for Speed.
With a
not that bad.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of pineapple. Yeah, bitch. It's got bromide. You mean bromelain, which is the BR in the Breaking Bad logo, by the way.
When I, right before the end, shouted out to these two donkeys, I did not even read your rating skills or scores.
Nice. No, I mean, that's, you know, that is great. I mean, the scenes, like, all of those lines are just great, but.
Wing, where say you?
Yeah, that's a solid entertaining. Is it the best episode? No. Did I need it? Hell no. Characters are mostly the same place. Okay, I get their allegory that he's free, but he's not free, and he still needs to get out of the cage of where he was, and blah, blah. I get all that, but yeah, that was fine. So I had okay time. I had pause it, and that was fine too. So yeah, entertaining. Beef?
I am going to go cult legend. Magnets. Ooh. Yeah, that was a good one. Not because it's a great movie by any means, but you really had to be invested in the show or enjoy the show or watch the show to even thoroughly enjoy this movie. It is entertaining, but it is just so much fun. And like I said, I think it's kind of a niche because you can't, your wife's just not going to pick up and watch this by herself. And she'll probably be mad at you if she did. But from everything from the Stockholm syndrome to them actually showing that to the cuts of the movie to seeing where everybody is. And like you're saying, how he has to get out of the cage after getting out of the cage and shed his life. I think that's one of the reasons that the vacuum man did not really want to help him right away is because he thought that he might just be a fuck up and bail on him again or go back to being a piece of shit. So... it was good to actually see hope. And I was going to wait it for my sign off, but just that little That little smirk, that little grin that Aaron Paul gives when he's driving into the sunset, like, that is fucking heartfelt. He is, he's honestly changing or rolling over a new leaf or whatever. Lobster?
You're the guy. Look, I am 96% sure that you are the guy. Look, I think this movie's awesome. I think it, you know, really satisfies on a lot of levels. As a epilogue, I'm not going to say a finale, because I think that, you know, you can't improve on Breaking Bad's finale, but I think you can, there is room for
a postscript.
A coda, if you will. And I think this functions very effectively at that. I don't know if it's perfect. I don't know if it's, you know, if you were going to count it in the episodes, if it's in the top 10 Breaking Bad episodes, I think that's, you know,
probably not.
That's really good territory. There's a lot of really good episodes of Breaking Bad, and different people like different ones. But I think this does what a lot of these, you know, let's go back to the well one more time things fail at. They don't try to fix it. They don't try to retcon something. They don't try to overextend what they're trying to do. It's a very simple story. It's a, I need to get out of town. And they give the character many times where he's backed up against a wall, which, you know, that the character, like, you've seen that character there before. You like that character when they're in that situation. They do it a couple of times, and eventually you are invested in either seeing them escape or, you know, die at least trying, right? Like this show, like this episode or movie really asks you, you know, do you want to see Jesse get away and have a happy ending? Or are you okay with, you know, whatever? Is it worth it that he dies trying? And I think what this movie does well is it doesn't give him the same end as Walter White. Spoilers for Breaking Bad, Walter White dies in a blaze of glory and self-sacrifice, and they don't do the same thing with Jesse. They don't give him the same ending, which may have been tempting for symmetry or whatever. They give him the happy ending. They let him get away. And again, they don't take away anything from the finale of Breaking Bad, because that's where the finale ends. The finale ends with Jesse getting away. And this just says, but wait, there's more, and gets you to the same end point at the end. So I think this was awesome. I think it was a lot of fun to watch. Strong recommend for anybody who is into Breaking Bad and has been hesitant to check this out. It is on Netflix.
Yeah, that was by far not the finale, but like you said, if you liked it, like say you like ice cream and someone just brings you some more ice cream,
yeah,
it's not going to be bad in any way. Fucking eat that ice cream.
Right. Don't let it melt.
It's not going to be bad in any way.
You son of a bitch, don't let it go to waste.
Jeez.
Come on. You want ants? That's how you get ants.
And
I go back to the plan.
Well, again, like, that's an example of what not to do. But there you go.
But still, because it was in the same universe, I didn't completely hate it, even though I hated it.
Of course you did.
I am okay.
I got to see more six.
I am okay with the plan, because Fine. It gave us that Bear McCreary piece, Apocalypse, which is really, really good. Have you seen the live performance of that with the cellist who does the Wonder Woman theme?
Nope.
Check it out on YouTube. That's a recommend for me. It's worth it for that piece of music.
Last word on El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie.
Are we done?
Are we done now?
Yeah.
I think we're cooked. Beef, what time is it?
Minor grin. News time.
I have a minor grin about the box office. You can't see it, though, because it's invisible. Invisible man. Did I write invisible mom? That's weird. So, invisible man.
She's a pervert, I'll bet.
Oh. I like that movie, though. That's
invisible weird. Mom. Okay. So, just like my childhood. I'm just kidding. So, invisible man sees first place opening. So that was great. So obviously this is the Blumhouse, Universal. Let's update the Invisible Man to the modern era. Did you guys see it?
And?
It's great.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, it's, well, let's go back to that scale that we were.
Yeah, so let's talk about their other attempts to update the Universal franchise, The Mummy.
She
Frankenstein,
was very pretty.
Van Helsing. Well, I mean, like what? Where are you going to go? So, I like The Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon. Like, I like that movie. Yeah, but exactly.
Hey, so. I did kind of like Hollow Man. I think I own it.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know.
So you just wanted to see him run around as a set of lungs or whatever he was. I forget.
Right, a vascular system occasionally.
Yeah. Yep. So The Invisible Man. Also, check out 7th place, you guys, Impractical Jokers, the movie. Like, what the hell is that even?
I don't even know. What is that?
I don't know, but it went 38% gain on the box office. Now that's 3.6 million, but whatever. So it's sad when basically the movie version of a reality TV show is in the top 10.
Okay.
Okay, I have to lead with some sad news. RIP, rest in peace, James Lipton of Inside the Actors Studio. Huge fan over here. One of the all-time great interviewers. If you are at all a movie fan and a fan of acting as a craft, I think you owe it to yourself to check out some of the vast catalog of Inside the Actors Studio and James Lipton's work there.
Agreed.
So we teased it last week, but Star Wars Project Luminous is the High Republic.
Do you care?
I don't care.
Me neither. Like, at all.
Do you care?
I don't even know when or what that is.
Well, it was when weed was legal, and all the Jedi were high as fuck. Like,
it's Project Luminous.
Yeah, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. Whoa.
Oh, careful with that lightsaber. Whoa, this guy lost his head.
Yeah, I'm going to make a bong out of my lightsaber. Whoa.
I'll call it the Stone Wars.
Stone Wars. Oh, snap.
You can get better than that, though.
We have a script.
Yeah, really, they were just texting each other, and that's where Sith came from. Yo, this is the Sith. Okay.
Something I could care about, not so much, this next one. The Lost Boys. They've cast the new Lost Boys.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know, man. Yeah. Fucking...
I mean,
CW's going to do what they're going to do, and yeah.
It's on CW? Well, there's a chance that's okay.
That's right. I mean, you guys are CW fanboys for all the other stuff, so I haven't...
It's not for you. It's not for us.
No, it's not for us.
It's fine.
I mean, even as much as I love the Arrowverse stuff, I know it's not 100% for me, but I'm okay with it. Like, I have not drunk from the well of Riverdale yet, but...
It's fine. It's not for us.
Yeah, it's not for us. But it's fine. I mean, it's all good. People like it. It gets good ratings, and they just keep cranking it out. So,
Archie's still making money for Christ's
Archie
sake.
Is still making money. I'm on board.
The worst comic book of all time.
All right. So, speaking of comic books, Matt Reeves on his Twitter tweeted pictures of the Batman movie's Batmobile, and holy shit, it actually looks like a fracking car. Like, it looks
the front end kind of looks like a Charger Challenger, and the ass end is like flared out a little bit. It does look like a passable vehicle you could drive in one lane.
We had tanks for 15 years. It's fun to have a car.
I cannot stress enough how happy this makes me. So, like, I get Bruce Wayne is a millionaire. I get that he can build anything he wants, but physics still applies, and he's still constrained by, like, what is physically possible to manufacture. So
nanites, man.
Right, yeah. There's your flex tape goes right on there. Nanotech. We don't look here. Nanotech. But I can't tell you how happy this makes me that, again, it feels like they're going with a Batman Year One kind of vibe. And okay, so maybe he gets to the tank eventually, but at a certain point he has to take an actual car and build on top of that.
As long as it's not his same like grocery getter from Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Well,
I guess I don't mind.
The beater version.
If it's a way to like hide it, because he's got to have it looking a little bit more badass than just normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
well, it is more badass than normal.
I know. Okay.
I mean, I think of the Batmobile as like it's a dragster. It's a hot rod. My favorite is still the one from Batman and Batman Returns, kind of the classic, stretched out, flared back end kind of thing. And this looks and feels like that. And, I don't think it's a bad idea that it could kind of maybe blend in as a regular-ish car.
I know. The SN looks like, oh, man, it looks good.
Yeah, but when you look at the one on the side and you look at the curve of the car, clearly this has been remade. So
I
like the minimalist style. And again, I go back to since Burton. Okay, Burton gave us the same car twice, which was magical. I love the Burton
Batmobile.
And
they nailed it in one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then we got two toy car, which they were literally toy car.
Yeah.
And then we got two tanks.
I mean, this one in the back, the engine is all exposed and stuff like that.
I like
which is cool. Which is cool. It makes me think that there could be something that kind of sits on top of that
covers
adds another element to it. Yeah, that we don't see. But
I mean, it looks like an old like Corvette.
And again, I feel like this might be concept art and stuff because it's got Batman like just standing there in front of it. But it still looks fucking good. I'm not mad.
I'm mad at you.
Okay.
Of course, all the haters are pissing and moaning. Nothing will be as good as this, Ben Affleck.
Where are the guns? Where are the guns on it? Batmobile, no guns.
No guns. But seriously, people at this point seem to have a better reaction than I was expecting to all that bullshit.
But if you click on the link and scroll down on the tweet or whatever, there's like
don't do that.
Every 10 comment is still a fucking whiner, if not more.
The only negative thing I thought was like, oh, it kind of looks like Blade Scar, but it's natural.
Blade copies his shit on the Dark Knight. There's even a reference in the movie.
So what's this next one, Captain Allison Brie Lover?
As you know, I'm a big fan. But so Marvel is doing a She-Hulk TV series for Disney+. They released a casting notice where they said they want a quote Allison Brie type to play Jennifer Walters in the series.
Well, just cast her then.
Okay, so again, like that was everyone's question. It was like, okay, well, Allison Brie is wrapping up a series called Glow on Netflix. That's ending soon. She's theoretically available for another series. If you want to cast an Allison Brie type, can you not afford Allison Brie? Can you, like, she doesn't want to commit to do a comic book show. You asked her and she said no. Like, or do you just do Allison Brie? I mean, I'm on board with that plan. So what do you guys think?
I don't really know her, so I don't have a say, but...
Well, you've watched Community, so you know Annie's boobs. I
not watched Community ever.
Okay, well, you should definitely watch Community. But,
yeah, you should.
Okay.
But, I don't know, cast any good actress that has a good audition tape.
That's kind of the other thing, too, which is... obviously, we went through a couple iterations of Bruce Banner, and we landed on Mark Ruffalo.
We'll speak of him later. How tall is this chick? Don't you need, like, a large stature woman for some of this?
So that's kind of the other thing. So, obviously, Mark Ruffalo and the Hulk look very different. You know, you see similarities in the face and whatnot, especially in the Avengers Endgame, where he's kind of the smart Hulk and whatever. But so She-Hulk is kind of like Smart Hulk, where obviously, you know, She-Hulk is She-Hulk, so she's jacked and whatever, but she's she keeps her intelligence for the most part, and is able to, you know, be more emotive and whatnot. So you would basically be doing, you know, Alison Brie. And that's kind of the thing about She-Hulk is she's a very mousy, timid, I think a lawyer, but, you know, She-Hulk, and then she's big and powerful, kind of a sex symbol, especially if you go back to, like, Dan Slott's run of the comics, which is good. But, yeah, I'm that's kind of my dream casting of She-Hulk would be Alison Brie, so I'm glad they're going that direction. Just fucking do it, right?
Yeah,
no, I mean, we want a type. We want her as a type.
I don't, not the type. Just do it.
We want to. We want to pay a Legends podcast type. Well, just pay us.
Yeah. Right. Right. We're looking for a Legends type podcast. Oh. Okay. So, yes. All right, guys. I have some good news and some bad news.
Okay.
The good news is that No Time to Die will be the longest James Bond movie at 163 minutes. Okay,
that's not a good news.
I think we're gonna have to
depends on the movie.
I think we're gonna have to switch these two, and I'll tell you why in a second.
And No Time to Die, the Billie Eilish song, topped the charts with the biggest opening week ever for a James Bond theme.
Dear God, as people have noticed. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And that was the good news.
No, I think both of those are okay. Yeah, those are the good news.
And now the bad news.
I think that's good news.
You will have to wait until November to see No Time to Die. So instead of coming out in April, it will come out in the U.S. November 25th, 2020, due to, in a large part, concerns over the volatility of the global cinematic market. In other words,
their money-making ability.
People are nervous to go to the movies, be around crowds of people, especially in big movie markets like China, due to the coronavirus.
So they don't want it to flop, so they're pushing it back, which is good news for me, because I will have longer time to train my bladder to sit through a three-hour fucking Bond movie. Oh, I'm not going to see it in theaters.
You're not wrong.
Yes, you will be.
We have more time to rewatch like two Bond movies.
I have a couple of thoughts on this. Okay, April felt weird for a Bond movie.
Yes, it did.
For starters, I was very excited for it, but at the same time, I was a little nervous because it felt like some aspects of the production had been rushed. And I know we've talked about Hans Zimmer coming in at the last minute to score the film. I think the score was set to be released fairly soon, right? Like,
time.
Yeah. So, again, they could release the score and be like, okay, well, we made some changes, right? Obviously, Billie Eilish has made a huge splash with her Bond theme. It's been very well received, except by us on the podcast, which is fine. A friend of mine said, you know, you really have to see it with the visuals. You really have to see it in the credits. And I was like, you know what? You're right, because I'll get to this in a second. I've rethought the theme to Quantum of Solace. But
Of Solace theme is amazing.
Again, delaying the movie by several months, they could go back and tinker with stuff. You know, they are not beholden to, you know, not that they're going to Sonic the Hedgehog, but they could if they wanted to. And
let's
think
replace Daniel Craig by a blue hedgehog. That's
right.
A great idea.
We're going to make him blue and furry, and we're going to fix his teeth, finally. Okay. No. Daniel Craig's teeth are fine. He has nothing to worry about there. But
It's the ears
that are the problem. I was just going to say, shit. Oh, it's the ears that are the problem. Oh, poor guy. Again, sorry, Jesse Plemons. Sorry, Daniel Craig. Look at pictures of us. We're not that great, really. The studio can go back, tinker with what they need to. They don't have to make substantial changes. They can get everybody back together in November for a press tour. They can You know, Daniel Craig can go film the Knives Out sequel basically between now and then. And I guess they're good. And theoretically, I think this movie, I think they realized it was going to make more money than they thought it would, just not in April. And I think they realized, hey, this is good. Things have actually really come together. Let's not shoot our wad, and risk. Obviously, it's not going to play well in China because, like, people are under quarantine. You know, obviously, everyone, I have a cold right now, not the coronavirus, as far as I know.
I mean, I might have corona. I don't know. Who knows? Screw
right.
it. I'm middle-aged. I'll live.
Hey, my fridge is full of corona.
Ah, you know what? I got Lyme disease, too.
There you go. Sorry. You heard it here first, folks. I think this is a smart move for them. And I'm pissed that I'm going to fucking wait 6 more months or whatever to see it. I'm going to tell you why in a second, but...
Plenty of time for a bootleg to come out.
All right, good. Trailer dump, ladies and gentlemen. Show I'm excited for, Dave, on FX with... Little Dicky.
You're excited now? I didn't think you would be.
I liked his music to start with.
Cool.
And I'm not lying, and I think that this show looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I heard his stuff on Pandora a couple of years ago, and I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And then I heard his voice in the trailer, and I'm like, hey, that sounds like him. So yep. It looks dumb and fun, and I'm kind of getting like a early Entourage off of it.
Yeah, but I mean, again, this is going to be on the FX. They're really pushing this FX on Hulu thing, which I think FX is going to like transition into more streaming content, but it looks good. Wing? Well, what about fucking Australian go-karts?
Crikey!
They're so quark.
That looks funny.
I guess. This is on Netflix. I think it's actually a movie, not a TV show, but it's just getting released on Netflix. It's called Go-Karts. What do you want? Like, what do you want? It's Go-Karts.
I'm excited, I guess, for it. Well, not excited. Cool. It looked interesting, and then halfway through the trailer, I was like, maybe not so much. I don't know. We'll see.
It's freebie.
It's coming of age. It's whatever. It'll be fun or something.
Let me ask you guys, what is better than seeing Mark Ruffalo turn into a giant green rage monster?
You mean what's better than Mark Ruffalo is seeing Mark Ruffalo play two different characters on screen?
Yeah, I guess seeing Mark Ruffalo, and then seeing like slightly chubbier, insane Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, this looks awesome.
It says, I know this much is true, which is coming to HBO in April.
It looks sad, too.
It does look a little sad.
But double Mark Ruffalo's for the price of one, or none.
Two Ruffalo's. For
the Buffalo? No.
Oh.
Easy.
To Ruffalo for the Buffalo.
Oh. Okay.
Waka, waka, waka.
Whoa.
Waka, waka, waka.
My next
heard
one.
Heard it here first.
My next one is what I'm really happy for.
Movies?
Yes, movies. Insert Coin. It is a documentary about, was it Midway Video Gaming
Midway
Company?
Midway Games, yeah. Midway Games.
So good. This looks phenomenal. I'm ready for this because I've been a documentary and crime documentary nerd lately.
Sure. So the Insert Coin is about the rise and fall of Midway Games through the arcade scene through to home gaming. Obviously, you know Midway Games titles, especially Mortal Kombat.
Narc.
This is Narc, T2, so forth. This is a documentary. It will premiere at South by Southwest. Hopefully, it will end up on one of the streaming services where a lot of these cool documentaries seem to be ending up, and we can check it out, hopefully, on this podcast, because I would be down for that.
Woohoo! Here, let's add it to the list.
Yep. Artemis Fowl from Disney. I don't see any reason why I would want to see this.
Yeah. Okay, move on. Candyman.
I just want to go back to this, where obviously this is a successful book series, right? By Ewan Colfer.
Remember Cody Banks?
Yeah, and remember the trailer Alex Rider that we talked about like last week, except this has trolls and shit? Like, Again, I don't want to.
I don't know where they're going to go with. I mean, this is...
I predict it will be in the Disney Flops category that we did this January very soon.
I smell it in a canary a couple of years from now.
I don't want to do it.
No, I don't think so, no.
Let's say his name five times. In a mirror, Candyman.
Candyman.
Okay. I would watch this. I'm a big fan of the originals. Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh. Jordan Peele producing... This looks cool.
Yep.
I mean, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, my man from
Watchmen,
from Aquaman. I love this guy.
Do we need to do the first one and then this one at some point in time?
We've got some time. We have a bond-shaped hole in our calendar, so we can definitely squeeze this in.
I haven't seen the first one since I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the second one, the New Orleans. That
one's
so good.
That's the best one.
I think it is. Yeah.
How many were there?
Two. Six. Oh, I don't know.
Are you serious? How many there were six?
There was a bunch.
I only think of one and two, and the rest. I mean, I'm talking about Tony Todd.
Yeah, he did them all. Do you know a lot of other roles?
Hey Siri, how many Candyman movies are? And Siri says Candyman five times, and then you die.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a Black Mirror episode right there.
Funny.
All right, one more movie trailer connected from Sony Pictures Animation from Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who brought you Lego Movie Into the Spider-Verse. I thought this trailer looked amazing. I love the animation style that they're going to. They're kind of mashing up 3D stop motion, 2D drawing. I got a lot of influences if you've read the Oatmeal comic strip or the stuff that he does. Definitely the pug looks like it's ripped straight from the pages of the Oatmeal. So much fun to look at. What'd you guys think?
Wang?
I'm in Candyman world. There's only three Candymen? Oh my God. Sorry. Yes, connected. Yeah, sure. I'm not a big...
Did it hurt your brain the way Into the Spider-Verse animation did, or...?
No.
No.
Okay.
It didn't grab me till the end of the trailer when the robots hit, though, and then I was all in it.
Right. I mean, there's a big twist in this trailer, right?
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess sometimes you got to give those...
Sure. I don't know. I had a lot of fun with this.
I'll check it out on rental.
I was watching it, and I was like... This is what Pixar should be doing, but they're not. So,
have you seen Onward?
I've not seen Onward. I hear it's okay. I think it comes out this weekend, right?
Oh, yes.
I think we should totally add that to the list for when it comes out on video, if it's actually okay.
Onward. Okay. Spoiler-free reviews are up next. This is what we've been seeing, reading, playing recently. New and old stuff.
I was bored yesterday, so I flipped through the new to HBO and
were bored. If you watched Anna, you were bored.
The new Luc Besson came on, and I watched Anna, and it wasn't horrible. I mean, it was serviceable. It's a pretty chick getting dressed up in different outfits, killing people, and there's some...
Oh, it's a Luc Besson thing.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a Luc Besson thing. But it's there's some twists and turns in it that it's kind of heisty. You know what I mean? Like, you see stuff, but you don't see stuff, and then they go back and show how it worked out. And they do that a few times. So it is interesting, at least. It's entertaining for a one-time watch. The Pharmacist on Netflix... I was just in New Orleans in St. Bernard Parish where this takes place, and this pharmacist basically tracked down his son's killer and a bunch of crazy shit, and I haven't watched it all. I'm only three episodes in.
Is this reality or this is documentary?
Okay. He basically uncovered a bunch of corruption in the New Orleans Police Department and brought down one of the biggest OxyContin-pushing doctors in New Orleans.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
Watch the first two episodes of Altered Carbon. Season 2, it's okay. It hasn't grabbed me yet, but it's still, the world's fun, and you get to see a lot more of the AI Edgar Allan Poe hotel dude. So he's fun, and Anthony Mackie's good in it. It just, it feels like a lot more of the same, so I'll give it a couple more episodes.
People have said better than season one to me, but I don't know.
Maybe I just wasn't feeling it, so I stopped after two, and I'll go back. But right after that, I switched to Amazon, and I watched two episodes of Hunters, or The Hunters, the 1977 Nazi hunting in America.
Yes.
It is weird and good and creepy. I mean, it starts out strange and horrible, and it just it's good. It's kind of like
it's The Boys in the High Castle, right?
I was just going to say it's kind of like The Boys in High Castle.
Yeah.
Because the dude looks like the dude from The Boys, too, like the newbie. Okay.
Oh, whoa.
Probably not at all, but that's what I was
thinking. It's probably the same guy.
Yeah, right. They both on Amazon.
They're like, what are you doing right now?
Right now.
Come over here. Al Pacino's like, oh.
Actually, and he is pretty good as a 60-some to 70-some-year-old Jew because his mumbling works.
Dropping the J word.
Jewish person, a person of Jewish descent who was in the Nazi concentration camps?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you... There you go. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
But he, his mumbling works well, like his normal.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I did the impersonation and then I went, wait, was that racist? Because he's playing a Jewish character. I'm not sure. No. It's hard to know with
No racism was meant by our statements on this podcast, or anti-Semiticism, or I don't even know the term.
Because Shark Tackle is going to kill you. Just saying.
Why?
I'm just saying.
I'm not.
Because she's Jewish.
Yeah, but have I ever come off as anti-Semitic?
Well, 5 minutes. No.
Oh, shut it.
Yeah. These all sound like good-ish recommendations, except for Anna.
Have you seen Anna?
I have not. I saw that it was on there, and I was like,
give it. Just try it. I was way happier than I thought I would be.
If it's, my gold standard for like good stuff I find on HBO Go is like the Liam Neeson murder movie.
I watched it.
Cold Pursuit. Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
That I was like, okay, this obviously, I missed it in the theaters and I'm sad because it's good. But again, like it fits for what I'm watching.
I watched that on your recommendation.
Anna, I was like, I forgot that this movie was made. Maybe we talked about the trailer.
Please try.
All right.
Come on.
So I was really getting excited for No Time to Die coming out soon. I got a cold this past weekend, so I basically laid low, and I rewatched Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, the first two Daniel Craig James Bond movies, very much a duology. The two films basically follow the same plot line throughout the two, and I have to say, like, both very solid entries in the James Bond canon. Casino Royale, I think especially, is excellent as an introduction to James Bond, as played by Daniel Craig. There's an awesome video that I found online. I don't know if I shared it with you guys. It's about how action informs character. It's about Casino Royale. Quantum of Solace gets a bad rap, right? Like, it's an unloved...
For good reason.
Okay. Well, you say that, but I think it gets a bad rap because it's purposefully dense, and it's also slightly un-James Bond-y in a way. But I grew up in the era of Bond movies on cable, and for some reason I enjoyed License to Kill.
I think it's a good movie.
It's a good movie, but it's an un-James Bond-y movie.
I agree.
This kind of fits in that same canon, right? Like, what was popular?
I would disagree. This one basically has very, very fast editing, which shows a lack of footage and clearly suffered from the writer's strike. Clearly.
Yeah, well, they had a script doctor. Didn't Paul Haggis work on this too? Haggis.
Nobody could work on it. They had to go shooting with half a script, and I think it shows. They have half a movie.
Okay. It's funny because I ended up picking up some things on rewatch that connected the dots a little bit more, and I saw the connections that they were making to Casino Royale, and I thought it played better, I think, watching it. I remember seeing it in the theater and watching it after on like Blu-ray, but I think seeing it again, I appreciated it more. It is Mark Forster doing like an art house take on Bond, but what do we think that Cary Goji Fukunaga is going to give us? I think he's going to give us also an art house take. I mean, he may be giving us the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood James Bond, right? Like, this is going to be a very long movie that we're about to get. I feel like it's going to be more akin to Quantum and less akin to Casino Royale.
Quantum of Solace is the shortest James Bond movie ever produced. This one is the longest movie.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, when I think of True Detective and the slow burn that that series is, I see why this is going to be a long Bond movie.
And I think we're going to get something like Skyfall, but longer.
Well, and don't forget, like, what was previously the longest James Bond movie?
Skyfall?
Spectre. So the last one was the longest. So, I mean,
Isn't it me or Daniel Craig has two of the best Bond movie ever produced and two of the worst Bond movie ever produced?
You know, make of it what you will, but it's kind of like you're wondering which way they're going to go. So you can go even odd, right? And go Casino Royale good, Quantum bad, Skyfall good, Spectre bad, No Time to Die good. It fits the pattern. Or you look at them as kind of sibling movies where, you know, Casino and Quantum are kind of two parts of a story. Skyfall and Spectre, two parts of a story. And what is No Time to Die going to be? Is it going to connect all four? Is it going to be the third in the trilogy? You know?
I don't know. I really... It's been a while.
Well, I tell
no
you
idea
what
to expect in the
I'm excited
movie.
To rewatch these again in 6 months to get hyped again for No Time to Die.
Well, you have two other to watch in 6 months, so...
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, so you're fine.
Wing, what about you? Wing, what have you been watching?
What have you been into?
Tax season. You want me to talk about tax?
No, yes. No. That's fine.
No, that's basically what I've been up to every day and night of my life at the moment. So
what's the difference between VAT, value-added tax, and sales tax?
We don't have a value-added tax here. We have sales tax and service tax.
Okay.
And then you have a provincial tax, and then you have a federal tax, and on top of that, they tax you again. It's very complicated.
So you've only been doing taxes.
Yeah, I haven't watched any TV. Watching this was a challenge. I'm playing it. Basically, I'm playing a Transformer mobile game, and that has been my cool down moment.
Might have to make you and Shark Taco download a game before you both come to my house. You never even play my game anymore, Wing.
I know, I'm so sorry. But yeah, that's basically what I've been up to. This week I have planned. I had planned to rewatch a bunch of James Bond, but instead of rewatching the one I wanted to watch, I'm just going from the start of the 70s, I decided. to do like from Live and Let Die to Moonraker. So that's going to be my little line here.
You're going to start with a good one and end with Moonraker.
Weirdly enough, Moonraker is one of those that I enjoy. It's totally ridiculous. It's not a great movie, but it's funny to watch. I laugh out loud at that movie.
I mean, we know that you don't like the one that I like the most, For Your Eyes Only. So there we go.
Next time, Legends Podcast, Bumblebee.
Bumblebee Tuna.
Bumblebee Tuna.
I can't believe that I'm excited to watch a Transformer movie.
I've never seen it, so I'm interested.
This is on, I believe it's on the Hulu, the Amazon Prime, if you want to grab it.
The first 5 minutes of these movies are everything my kid heart always wanted.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited.
And then there's a movie. And then there's a movie. Good.
Yeah, after that there's a movie, but it's accessory. Yeah.
have a comment, question, or recommendation, email us at legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That's podcasts with an extra S for sequel movies to great TV shows. Wow, that was a mouthful.
Stretch,
yeah.
But I'll take it.
Hey, you got that S in there. This has been episode 462 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, yep, Bumblebee Tuna.
I'm John D with a D like in, don't forget that I'm here, something, something, something.
And I'm John L. Webster saying, Bumblebee Tuna, bitch.
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 Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.